जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर नंबर 1 टाइटल्ड डायनेस्टीज ऑफ कलि युगा एंड श्लोका नंबर 18 19 एंड 20 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे। सो वी हैव टेक्स्ट नंबर 18 ऑन द बोर्ड। शुंगम हत्वा देवभूतिम् काण्वो मात्यस्तु कामिनम् स्वयं करिष्यते राज्यम् वसुदेवो महामती। शुंगम हत्वा देवभूतिम् काण्वो मात्यस्तु कामिनम् स्वयं करिष्यते राज्यम् वसुदेवो महामती। शुंगम हत्वा देवभूतिम् काण्वो मात्यस्तु कामिनम् स्वयं करिष्यते राज्यम् वसुदेवो महामती। शुंगम हत्वा देवभूतिम् मात्यस्तु कामिनम् वसुदेवो महामती।
स्वयं करिष्यति राज्यम् वसुदेवो महामती।
दृष्ट्वा देवभूतिम् Matajis, we'll read word to word translation, translation purport, and also the translation and purports of the subsequent shlokas. These are all done by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Word to word translation of text number 18. Shungam, the Shunga king, Hatva, killing, Devabhutim, Devabhuti, Kanvaha, the member of the Kanvad family, Amatya, his minister, Tu, but, Kaminam, lusty, Swayam, himself, Karishyate, will execute, Rajam, the rulership, Vasudeva, named Vasudev, Mahamati, very intelligent. Translation: Vasudev, an intelligent minister coming from the Kanva family, will kill the last of the Shunga kings, a lusty debauchee named Devabhuti, and assume rulership himself. Purport: apparently, because King Devabhuti was lusty after the wives of other men, his minister killed him, assuming leadership and thus beginning the Kanva dynasty. Translation of Shloka number 19. The son of Vasudev will be Bhumitra and his son will be Narayana. These kings of the Kanva dynasty will rule the earth for 345 more years of the Kali Yuga. Text number 20, translation. The last of the Kanvas, Su Sharma, will be murdered by his own servant Bali, a low-class Shudra of the Andhra race. This most degraded Maharaj Bali will have control over the earth for some time. Purport. Here is a further description of how uncultured men infiltrated government administration. The so-called king named Bali is described as asattama, a most impious, uncultured man. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Mrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो फॉर द लास्ट फ्यू डेज वी हैव बीन हियरिंग अबाउट हाउ दिस मिनिस्टर किल्स दिस किंग एंड देन दिस किंग इज नॉट ए फिट किंग एंड सच डिग्रेडेड descriptions are given in the Amalam Puranam. So Amalam Puran is mentioning to us the truth without any distortion, and that's why it's also important to understand that this is the sad situation of life today. And in this degraded situation where there is no loyalty, where is though no adherence to dharmic principles, all of us here are sitting with a very pure and very high aim, that all of us want to practice ahetuki, apratihata, loving devotional service to the supreme absolute truth, Lord Krishna, and his antaranga shakti Srimati Radharani. So just see the contrast. What is the background and what is the painting that we are trying to paint? If this same aim would have been mentioned to us in Satya Yuga, Treta or Dwapar, there was some similarity. So if the time is so degraded, and what is our aim as taught to us by our teachers, our gurus, is so pure, how will we balance this? And that is where today's day, the significance of today's day emerges. Today is the tithi of the incorporation of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So if it was not there for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where would I be? I would be somewhere in the descriptions of what is mentioned in these shlokas one after another. Somebody is a lusty person, somebody is a debauchee, somebody is totally not loyal, somebody wants to murder, usurp power, and then he himself is killed by somebody and that person usurps power. And this is a very common thing today. So how significant it is that Srila Prabhupada, on this day, 54 years back, 1966, he gave to us the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And I'm taking this opportunity to speak a little bit about the importance of the society that Prabhupada has given to us in these times. One time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning the definition of pure devotees. And he said, those who want to live by the principles of our acharyas, they are also called pure devotees. They are not pure right now, but they are on that path and endeavoring to their own capacity, according to their own limitations, they are doing that. In the life of Srila Prabhupada also, there is a situation where one of some news reporters, they came to the temple and they asked Prabhupada, so how many pure devotees you have in your movement? And Prabhupada turned, some another devotee sitting there, and Prabhupada asked him, how many devotees are there in our movement? He had asked how many pure devotees there are. He is asking how many devotees there are. He gave some figure. And that figure was repeated verbatim by Prabhupada to that reporter. So he didn't get it. But all the other devotees who were sitting there, they understood that there's one word missing there. So Sasarup Maharaj, you know, he comments here and he said, so Prabhupada understood this. They're following me. They have their own limitations. Obviously, the culture outside is going to have a bearing on the devotees inside the movement also. But as long as they stick to the principles, as long as they stick to the parampara, as long as they stick to the system that I have set up, there is full hope and there is full surety. One day in the future, they will become pure devotees. The train starts from Bombay and it is there on the rails. So if it just goes on the rails, okay, it might sometimes get late because of the signal and this and that, sometimes because of the rains, sometimes the bridge collapses and all those unpredictable emergencies can happen. But if the rails are set from Bombay to Delhi, 2 days, 6 days, 2 months, in an abnormality 6 months, but one day the train will reach Delhi. So this is the faith that Prabhupada has, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has, and that's why it's very important for us to understand the facility that has been given to us, the opportunity that has been given to us. In today's times, it is not just materialism that attacks dharma. It is not just selfishness that attacks true religion. It is sometimes seen that some faiths or some religions, they also attack other faiths and other religions. So, in the history, this is all public information, there is something called as Inquisition. Inquisition is one particular very dominant faith in the world today. At one point of time, they started a officially declared attack on anybody who does not follow their principles. And this went on from 12th century to mid 15th century. And then there is something called as the Crusades. And these Crusades were from 1096 AD to 1271 AD. This is roughly 175 years. So for 175 years, one particular faith, which is a very dominant faith, they took to the objective of recovering the holy land. There is a land which is holy land and it was under some another possession. So they wanted it. 175 years, there was the first crusade, the second crusade, there is a sixth crusade, there is a northern crusade. And this is not a war by theists on atheists. This has nothing to do with faith in God. This has to do with my definition of faith in God. He is also somebody who has faith in God, but my definition of faith in God is higher than his definition of faith in God. So certain things have to happen in my way. So it's very interesting. We are facing attack from materialism. We are facing attack from atheism. We are facing attack. There is a new term in Kali Yuga which is called apatheism. So we know of theism and atheism. Theism is belief in God. And atheism is disbelief in God. Now, apatheism comes from the word apathy. Apathy is the opposite of empathy. Empathy means you feel for somebody. And apathy means I don't care. I don't care you are sitting here or not. I don't care you exist or not. So, apatheism is the latest thing in the market today where they don't even have time, they don't have even energy to prove the existence of God, to disprove the existence of God. They say whether God exists or does not exist, it does not matter to me. Me, my life, my sense gratification and my hobbies, that is what matters. So there is an attack from apatheism, there is an attack from atheism, but there is interestingly a very strong attack by theism also. How can theism attack theism? How can I, a believer of God, be attacked by another person who is also a believer in God? So these are the times that we are living in. Many, many centuries back when dharma, when Vedic culture was existing in a big way and some people would dedicate themselves to the practices and also propagation of Vedic culture, they used to receive protection, they used to receive sponsorship and benefits from the king or the wealthy merchants. Today, I might be, you know, criticized for this, but sadly, today we see how two or three saintly people in the middle of the night, when they are traveling somewhere, instead of receiving protection for their saffron clothes, sometimes, you know, they are mercilessly killed. So, these are the times in which theism is on attack, not only from atheists, but also from theists of other faith. In such a time, I am just imagining myself. This is from Shukdev Goswami in the Bhagavatam. And this is something from what we are reading around us. How am I going to survive as an alone person? If I want to practice God consciousness, will I survive in these times? When anyone and everyone, irrespective of what clothes he wears, it's quite likely that he's against my practices and against my faith. So in these times, I am asking a question to myself. Will it be possible for me to practice genuine principles of devotional service, faith in the Supreme Lord, alone? And the answer that came to me is, it is simply impossible. probably I might not be here asking this question that can I practice alone. It means I am dependent on an institution. An institution is something that provides safety to all the people who are staying together. Institution is something that provides cultural safety, it provides physical safety, it also provides financial safety. So in this way, we cannot overemphasize the need for having institutionalized religion in today's times. I'm just giving you a background. And sometimes this institutionalism, because of its other side, this material world is dvandva. And that's why we always call the spiritual world is absolute. Absolute means only one thing, pure. So dvandva means there will always be two sides, heads and tails, day and night, good and bad. So institutionalism, as soon as we introduce this concept of institutionalized religion, there has to be some dark side. And we cannot just overlook it. We cannot just close our eyes. But let's see. What does the person who gave us institutionalized religion in its most prominent form, what does he speak? This is Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And he accepted that institutionalism is an evil. But he used a word before that. He said it is a necessary evil. So it is not that the person who gave us this institutional religion was unaware of the pitfalls. But he is accepting, considering the advantages of institutionalism and considering the disadvantages of institutionalism, the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages. I am from an engineering background, mechanical engineering. So mechanics is not about electronics. It's all about moving parts. And moving parts, the first thing that comes on a mechanical engineer's mind whenever he's designing a machine or any machinery is the concept of friction. Where you want certain parts to move and you want certain things to happen, and if there is a lot of friction between two parts, then it won't happen. So what is friction? Friction is the resistance to movement when there is contact between two physical parts. And depending on what is the material used, there are different friction constants. So iron and iron, there is one dynamics of that. The steel and iron, one dynamics. Aluminium and iron, and so on. Different combinations. So whenever you are making a machine, you have to evaluate how much should be the weight of the machine. For something like an aircraft, weight is the most important thing. But for something which is going to be on land, you know, then weight is not the critical part, but efficiency is the critical part. So I'm just giving you different concepts of this. So now the thing is, what if you reduce the friction to zero? These two parts, they don't have any friction. Because friction consumes a lot of energy, and friction also produces heat. So sometimes, you know, if there is something called a lathe machine, on which objects are turned, they give a shape. It's called a lathe machine. So on lathe machine, you will see where the cutting is going on, there's also a small pipe of water that is falling on that part. So as it is cutting, 1 millimeter below it, it is being cooled by a constant flow of water. Otherwise, it gets heated up and the size expands. Metals expand. So can I make some way to put oil and this and that, some way I can do reduce friction? Very good, you can reduce friction. But as soon as you reduce friction, then there is no movement. For instance, all of us travel by railway. And the rail wheels are made up of steel, and the steel rails are also there. So it is steel wheels that move on the rails. Now you imagine there is no friction. Friction means there is no resistance. It means there is free movement. So when the train engine gives power, then those wheels will start rotating on the spot. The train won't move. Why? Because there is no friction. There is no resistance. So the wheels are moving. The whole concept of movement will happen only when there is friction. Now the interesting part is this same friction concept which is used to drive the train is also used for stopping the train. If you have traveled in ordinary sleeper, then whenever there is a sudden braking, then there is a certain smell that comes in the train. And that smell is, there is something called as brake liner. It is a highly corrosive substance. It is a highly, you know, substance that has high friction constant. And there is a brake liner that is there on the wheels. And as soon as you press the brake, then the brake liner touches the wheels. And there is intense friction. And because of that intense friction, the wheels stop. So friction, when used properly, propels the vehicle ahead. If no friction, no movement. And the same friction, when it is used in a big amount, then that same friction will stop the train. So, it means friction is something that cannot be avoided. But yes, what is important is you keep the friction to the minimum in such a way that there is movement. Lesser than that, there is no movement. Higher than that, you are wasting energy and there is a lot of heat generated. And then there are a lot of accidents also that can happen. So braking, if it is done very much, then the whole wheel is hot. And then sometimes some accidents can happen. It means, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, institutionalism is also a necessary evil. So he is saying, in an institution, suppose somebody is a pujari. Now he may not be a good cook. So if he does not have an institution, he can do pujari seva, but does he need somebody to cook for himself? And there could be in an institution a cook who cooks very nice prasad, but he does not have much attraction for the holy name, so he needs assistance from somebody for chanting the holy name. So he can cook for those who chant, and those who chant can share their realizations about chanting with the cook. There are devotees who are painting, they may not be cooking, they may not be dancing in kirtan, but they are nice paintings. And so when devotees come here, when visitors come here, I have seen so many westerners when they come here, I have very rarely seen those western guests taking picture of the deities. Many of the times I have seen westerners taking pictures of the chandeliers and this beautiful roof painting. You can observe next time you see westerners coming here. Very, very less I have seen them taking deities photographs. They are more impressed by these paintings, the decor, the wooden carving and this and that. So somebody who has contributed here, is he contributing to the movement? Yes. And by contributing to the movement, is he making the movement popular? Yes. And by making the movement popular, is he helping Srila Prabhupada? Yes. So somebody who is a painter is not a cook. Somebody who is a cook does not love the holy name so much. Somebody who loves the holy name may not be interested in painting. But when all these people stay together, then the holy name is also distributed. The decor, the ambience of the temple hall is also very nice. And there is nice prasadam also available. And so on. You can extrapolate this further. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is telling us, have an organization in such a way that sometimes the friction is what? That you have an opinion and somebody else has another opinion. That opinion generation and going for the best opinion is very much fruitful, is very much important for the movement to prosper. So if somebody has an opinion and somebody else says, well, I have another opinion, that opinion also has to be heard. And that opinion also needs to be given due credence. And if it is a good opinion, then opinion should be taken. That is what is the friction. So keep the friction minimum means keep the heat, keep the disagreements in such a way that those disagreements lead to upgradation of our agreements. When we disagree with each other, we listen to the other party and we come together to a consensus that this opinion is better than the opinion that we thought, and in this way it pushes the movement further. Better and better opinions, better and better agreements. But when those disagreements become like the brake liner, that energy is being spent only in rubbing against each other, so the train is not moving. This is Hare Krishna movement. Hare Krishna movement means Prabhupada wants this Hare Krishna, this society, to move ahead, to give pure bhakti to anyone and everyone. But if the disagreements become so much that instead of pushing the movement, they stop the movement, then we lost it. And then if we feel, oh, it is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati who first institutionalized religion. We have some few examples. We have gone to Udupi where Shripad Madhavacharya, when he received the deity in that Gopi Chandan, before that there was no deity there. There was only Chandra Mauleshwar temple. So then he brought the deity there and he established the deity, and then foreseeing the Kali Yuga. He's an Acharya. He can understand. So he established 8 primary disciples, 8 mathas, system. It may not be a legal entity, but it is a system. It is an organization. Those 8 mathadish then have their own deities. The 8 mathas have their own deities. Somebody has Vitthal, somebody has Krishna, somebody has Matsya. And then he created a system, 2 months pariyaya. 2 months, this matha will serve the deity and the 7 mathas will preach. Because atheism has to be countered. Wrong understanding of Vedanta has to be conquered. There is a need. Paritranaya sadhunam and vinashaya dushkritam. Both are important. We cannot say only paritranaya sadhunam is important, vinashaya dushkritam, not important. So 7 mathas are preaching and 1 matha is serving. Later then Vadiraj Tirtha, the most biggest Acharya after Madhvacharya, then he changed the system from 2 months to 2 years. Because he felt this 2 month period is too small and the changeover happens very fast. Let's have 2 years where this matha serves the deity and the 7 mathas go out and preach. Imagine 14 years of preaching. So this is how, you know, Madhvacharya also establishes a system. We know of these 4 mathas by Sripad Shankaracharya. Sringeri, Dwarka, Govardhan Math at Puri, and then Badrinath. So why these 4 mathas? This is a system. And why I'm calling it a system? He took the South Indian person and put him as a pujari in Badrinath. Badrinath temple does not have pujari locally. And the local person from there was put in South India. The East pujari was put into West and West pujari was put in. Why? Because he wanted to preserve the culture of India. The previous culture, Buddhism, the way it had spread, they had literally, you know, thrown, they had burnt books. So much knowledge in the Vedas has been burnt. So to preserve the culture, this is what Shankaracharya did. So it's not just a question of starting a matha. He's establishing a system how the culture of India will be spread. Everyone knows what is happening on the other side religiously, from a religious perspective. So Shankaracharya, we have seen, has established a organization system. Madhvacharya has established an organization system. The Buddhist people also, they have 2 main paths, the Mahayana and the Hinayana. The slight difference between them. If you see, they also have big, big monasteries. So monasteries means it has to have a system. It's not that all the sadhus from Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya's followers and Buddhist people, they are just staying alone under a tree somewhere. So the way the things are in Kali Yuga, with no state sponsorship, just yesterday there was a news that Ananta Padmanabh Swami temple in Kerala, what are his assets? They have estimated. There's no count. Estimated assets of Ananta Padmanabh Swami temple is 1,000 crores. Public information. More than that. 1 lakh crores. I'm sorry. So 1 lakh crores, and so many people have their eyes on that. And some years back, there was a appeal made by the people there that it seems there is some misappropriation of funds by the royal family of Travancore. Martanda Varma, he's the original king who started the temple, established the deity and established the whole temple. And then his followers, the royal family. So they accuse that they are not utilizing the funds properly which belong to Anandpur. So it should be transferred to the state. Now in another state of India, we have seen what happens when the control of those temples was handed over to the government. And for 9 years, this battle is going on. And yesterday there was a ruling that no, the control of the temple and the funds should not be given to the government. It should be given to the royal family back. It means today the kings that were supposed to take care of the deities, they are the ones, the rulers, they are the ones who want to take the wealth from the deities. And in such a situation, one sadhu serving one deity, the deity is no less. But whatever the sadhu, can this sadhu resist the attacks? In some very holy cities of India, there is a land mafia. And small temple, simple sadhu, one day in the evening, when he goes somewhere for his puja or something, next day morning, there is no Mangalarti. So people wonder what happened to the Mangalarti. And the sadhu is not visible. Where did he go? Nobody knows. It's just land grabbing. So in such times, if we feel institutionalism is not favorable to the propagation of religion, we have to reevaluate our thoughts. We are not seeing the reality that is there. And as I mentioned, he's accepting. There is friction. But that friction has to be controlled. That friction has to be handled properly. Then only this Sanatan Dharma will actually become Sanatan. It is Sanatan. It has been Sanatan. But the way things are going, we need to come together. We need to stay together. And we need to propagate together. In the Gita introduction, Prabhupada mentions that the concept of Krishna that we have is not that he is God. The concept of Krishna that we have is he is the absolute truth. So what is usually the definition of the term God? God means controller. God means great person. One time we went to Juhu temple, and in Juhu temple outside in the courtyard, they have many stalls, and there was one stall that would distribute posters, sell posters. So Shyam Sundar is there, Bal Gopal is there and all those posters. I just went over to that person and asked him, which is the most popular poster that people take for? Any guesses? He said the most popular poster that is sold is the Virat Roop. The grand form of God. Na adi na madhya na anta. So primarily people concept of God is that great person. But Bhagavatam and the Gita, Krishna himself. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. This is there in the Gita, priti purvakam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Whom do I favor? Whom do I give intelligence? Priti purvakam. But this was never told to us. Before coming to ISKCON, before reading Prabhupada's books, nobody told me, you have to serve Krishna with priti. 10.26, yajnanam japa yajyosmi. It is there in the Gita. 5000 years it is there. Of all the yajnas, I am the japa yajna. Never heard it. What are the most famous shlokas of the Gita? Karmani eva adhikaraste. I never heard this priti purvakam. I never heard aham sarvasya prabho. I never heard man mana bhav mad bhakto. I never heard sarva dharman parityajya. I never heard yajnanam japa yajyosmi. Why was this hidden? Why was this hidden? For their own aims. So, outside Vedantic tradition, there is attack on Vedanta. Outside theism, there is an attack on Vedanta. Now, within Vedantic tradition, there is an attack on Vedanta. Suppress this person, Krishna. Who is this person, Krishna? The unknown, the unmanifest. We want to define God in a negative way. What is that? I have guna and I have akar. So what is the Supreme Lord? He is nirgun and he is nirakar. Whenever I have heard any small thing, I was never a big enthusiast about religion. Whatever little I heard, always I heard in Vitthal's bhajans, so many of Vitthal's bhajans. It is nirgun and nirakar. So many times they have spoken about Vitthal as nirgun and nirakar. And that was the primary understanding. When we came to ISKCON, then we heard this nirgun and nirakar means he does not have any material qualities and he does not have any material forms. Prabhupada gives a simple example. Somebody, a child who's never seen an elephant. Elephant rarely comes to the city. So he goes to one person and says, I don't know an elephant. Can you explain to me? He says, well, elephant is not like a cat. Okay. Then how is an elephant like? Elephant is not like a horse. That's very nice, but how is an elephant? Elephant is not like a giraffe. Elephant is not like a dog. Elephant is not like a cow. And there's a long list of 100 animals. Elephant is not like that. He said, but how is elephant? Wo to bolo. Wo chhodke sab kuch bol rahe. It's called neti, neti, neti. If people don't have bona fide knowledge about the Lord, all they can speak is, God does not have our qualities. We have hatred, we have envy, we have anger, we have lust. That he does not. So he's nirguna. God does not have a limited form like us. So, akar nahi hai unka. He is nirakar. That is the only way a fool, somebody who has not seen an elephant, but is claiming that he has seen the elephant, when he is asked a question, uncle, uncle, can you tell me how an elephant looks? The only thing he can describe is how the elephant is not. But he does not have any bona fide information. He cannot say, the height of an elephant is 12 feet. The length of an elephant is roughly 12, 13 feet. The diameter of each leg of the elephant is so and so inches. He cannot speak like that. So similarly, those of these Vedantists who are frustrated with material life, all they can speak about God is, in God there are no materialistic qualities, but they don't have proper knowledge. So in Prabhupada's, one of his talks, Prabhupada says, you know, somebody asked him that sometimes when you give purports or you give translations also, the word Krishna is not there in the shloka. If you read some of the paragraphs of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then sometimes Prabhupada gives his understanding. So then one person, he asked him, one scholar, if you check the corresponding 10th canto section and then you check the Krishna the Supreme, you know, something is added there. So Prabhupada said, at the beginning of the book I have mentioned, this is a summary study of the 10th canto. So summary study means I decide what is to be studied and what is not to be studied. So this is my purport. And then Prabhupada told devotees, for hundreds of years, these people, they suppressed Krishna. They locked Krishna. They are utilizing his knowledge. They will take his popularity, but they suppressed him. And they hid him where he was existing. Likhaya Krishna. Lekin batayenge nahi Krishna. Now it is my turn to take revenge on them. I will show Krishna where it is not even explicitly there. So in some shlokas where Krishna is not, he said, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said. And sometimes for us, it becomes, we don't have that affection for Krishna. So we feel, ye kya hai? You know, they did something beyond their extent and is he also doing? When you have affection for somebody and when you see that hundreds and hundreds of people have suppressed him, even though he is the greatest affectionate person, you feel bad, you feel hurt, and you feel this person was suppressed by so many people unnecessarily, although he is the well-wisher of somebody. Now I will show my affection to them by glorifying him anywhere, everywhere and every moment. So this Krishna is not God. The Krishna that Prabhupada has given to us is not God. God is only somebody who is an order supplier. When people are fatigued, people are tired, people are exhausted, then they go to God and say, God, this is my list and I can break a few coconuts for you and I can also do some upavas for you. Prabhupada did not give us God Krishna. Prabhupada gave us the Supreme Absolute Truth Krishna. And why am I calling it the Supreme Absolute Truth? Supreme Absolute Truth means there is nothing that has an independent existence than Him. The other concepts of God, they have a pratidvandvi, they have a counterpart. There is sometimes it's called Shaitan, sometimes it's called Satan, and there is a war going on between God and Him. The knowledge that Prabhupada gave us, He does not have a competitor. The shadow is something that causes an illusion. Can a living entity prevent another living entity from seeing the ever effulgent, super powerful, you know, supremely bright sun? Can one living entity stop another living entity from seeing the sun? In one situation it is possible. Thank you. When there is a cloud that is created by the sun and that cloud has some effect on the earth, and this person, instead of choosing to see the sun, he by his own will comes and stands below the shadow of the cloud. So now he, the cloud and the sun is in a straight line. In that situation, this jiva cannot see the sun. But for that he has to choose to transfer himself from the sunlight to the shadow of the cloud. And this jiva, if he is very popular, if this jiva, he is very charismatic with his words, and there are so many people in the sunlight and they are directly taking darshan of the sun, he can by his speech attract those people. Come, come, come here, come here. Here there is shade. There is, you know, you are sweating. And foolish people sometimes, they don't understand that sunlight is also disinfectant. Sunlight is very important. Sunlight gives vitamin D if you ask some doctors. But the sweat, the external sweat becomes too much for them, and sometimes they may choose to leave the sunlight and come under the shadow of the cloud and then join this big group that does not see the sun. So in this way, by argument and by logic, so many people who are against this personality called Krishna. Yesterday we were discussing how at one point of time His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj requested Radha Gopinath Prabhu to visit some nearby ashram where there was Bhagavat Katha going on. And Maharaj just wanted to know what kind of Bhagavad Gita is going on there. And Radha Gopinath Prabhu went there. And he found out in one lecture, he reported to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He said, today they discuss that which are the most important prayers in the Bhagavatam. So sometimes you may say Gopi Geet, sometimes somebody may say Kunti Devi's prayers, sometimes somebody say Dhruv Maharaj prayers and so on. In that ashram, the most important prayers on the Bhagavatam were Gajendra's prayers. So are they not important? They are important. But why? The reason why Gajendra's prayers are important, because in the entire prayers of Gajendra, there is not one mention of the name of the Lord. It is always, oh the great, the supreme and so on. So naam nahi likha udhar. Dekho kitna shresht bhakt hai ye. He believes in the power of the Lord. He does not believe in the all-attractive Lord, the absolute truth. But Prabhupada, He has told us, you know, Madhurya Leela, Guna, Rupa, Nam, Nam, all four are non-different. So it is only because of ISKCON, it is only because of Prabhupada that we have been saved from atheism, we have been saved from apathism, we have been saved from, what is the five kinds of flavors of dharma that is there in the Bhagavatam? Apad, Chala dharma, Adharma, Apad dharma, five kinds of varieties of dharma that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. All those five varieties also we have been saved. So Prabhupada, when he went to America, he carried books with us, with himself, and his main thing was books. His wealth is books, 200 sets of the first cant of the Bhagavatam. But when he went there, he found out, in India at least, there was some supporting culture to these books. In the West, the culture is totally against the knowledge that he wants to present in the book. So in addition to the books, he understood there is a need for giving the environment and the culture and the setup in which those books can be distributed, and in which when somebody receives the books and reads the books and he wants to find out, is this culture possible? Is this possible really? Then I also need to give them a living proof of the fact that I'm mentioning in my books. And that's why, although Prabhupada was all books, 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 but when he went to America, he, within a year, even before he incorporated ISKCON, he started talking about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, where did he get this word from? In Padyavali, Srila Rupa Goswami has given one shloka in which he mentions, Shri Krishna Rasa Bhavita Mati. So, Shri Krishna Rasa Bhavita Mati is a word that has been used by Srila Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada took that word from there and he gave this title, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Even before it was registered, there was a local newsletter in America. It was called the Village Voice. In one of the issues of the Village Voice, even before incorporation, Prabhupada mentioned, we have the International Society is thinking, there is an organization necessary. There is a setup necessary. Otherwise, the cooks will not be able to cook, the painters will not be able to paint, and the japa doers will not be able to do japa. Sankirtan in America was attacked so many times. If you read Satsarup Maharaj's books, at one point of time when Sankirtan was going on, prime Yuga Dharma, the police attacked. We know of Russia. Attacked. Sankirtan movement is attacked. Only because it was incorporated as a legal entity in America, Satsarup Maharaj and Jayanand Prabhu at one point of time, they visited all the police stations in Laguna Beach area, Los Angeles, and said, see, this is a legal entity and the government has accepted this as a bona fide religion. So one of our, the seven purposes, one of them is to spread the holy names, chanting. So because this is one of the purposes and this is a defined legal entity, so you cannot stop Sankirtan. That's when the police people stopping Sankirtan. Imagine two people are doing Sankirtan. Jagai and Madhai are there, much more. So, this institution is not something that is preventing us from spreading the Sankirtan movement. This institution is something that is helping us spread the Sankirtan movement. The institution also gives support. Sometimes we read of, you know, gurus within the movement and outside the movement, sometimes because of the influence of Kali Yuga, the kind of degradation that is there in the Kali Yuga, they are not able to maintain the principles. And so many times, even in the Vedic tradition, long haired, long beard, and sadhus for so many years and so many followers and all, and sometimes they are not able to maintain. And I have visited some families where they were followers of some another person, and you know, slowly they received shelter in ISKCON by the books, and they understood that yes, sometimes it's not possible for a one person institution. There is nobody to help, there is nobody to guide, there is nobody to advise. One person guru, one person institution, and then sometimes things go wrong. And in ISKCON, is it that we deny this? No, we don't deny this, but we have made a public declaration. God forbid, unknowingly, unpredictably, if something goes wrong, all the disciples of a particular guru will be given shelter by the institution. We are here to give shelter to you. You don't feel lost. You don't feel that now what to do about my spiritual life. If that institutional support is not there, if support of other God brothers of your guru are not there, can you imagine how many people can get heart wrecked? So already Manushanam Sahasreshu. And within that Manushanam Sahasreshu sometimes comes to God. And then the guru has difficulties. But just because there's an institution, so many spiritual lives are saved. We cannot stop the influence of the Kali Yuga, but we can give support to those who are affected by Kali Yuga. That is what is in our hands. So institutionalism is definitely very important and very necessary. Sometimes people say, you know, actually God is something, a subject matter of the heart. I will do what I want to do, which is very good. So, you know, sometimes they quote this 3.34, Nigraha Kim Karishyati. So do not try to suppress. And if a sadhaka, imagine a sadhaka, when he is sitting in a class and he hears this class, Nigraha Kim Karishyati. What will suppression accomplish, O Arjun? Follow your nature. But what is that nature? What is that nature that Krishna is speaking of? Today if you ask a young college boy, and you just speak this line, Nigraha Kim Karishyati, Krishna says, thank you Prabhuji. I used to always tell my mother, give me unlimited time on the internet. I don't know why she's spying over me what I do on the internet. I used to always tell my father, give me some freedom. I want to return home late at night. Now I am thankful to you that you explained to me. Krishna also speaks, what will the repression accomplish? So that what will the repression accomplish has to be understood in a proper... That is his swadharma. That is his swabhav. As a kshatriya, what is your duty? Arjun does not have to be told, you stick to your duties as a kshatriya. So he is saying, kshatriya ka swabhav hai, to kshatriya ki tarah aap, you act like that. And today, if we think, man ko dhyan dena hai, we might get some strange thoughts, we might get some crazy thoughts. It is only the institution that has a set of rules that, you know, at least for the first 10 years, don't talk about what my mind says. Because our mind is the first avaishnava that we met in our life. Even before we met all the cinema stars and the sports stars in the pages of the newspapers and the magazine, the first avaishnava is our mind. So if we start listening to our mind right from our first day, can we progress? So sadhana bhakti is, first you fight with the mind. And after you have sufficiently fought with the mind and your mind is little subdued, then you listen to your mind. By the way, now what are you saying? And he says, yes, I like Krishna, but I like this aspect of Krishna. I don't like this aspect of Krishna. I like this service to Krishna. I'm uncomfortable with this service of Krishna. But what if, in the name of, I like to listen to my mind, right from the first day, we start saying, my mind is saying something. So it is only the institution that is safeguarding us, even from our own mind, from externals, from internals. We'll go to the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is 10th canto, chapter number 2, which is called The Prayers by the Demigods, and this shloka number 30. So here, one of the line is, Tvat pada potena mahat kritena. And in the purport, Prabhupada is writing, in regard to the word Mahat Kritena, it is also significant that the process shown by great devotees is not only for them, but also for others. If things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy and also for others who follow the same principles. The process recommended in this verse for crossing the ocean of nisayance is easy, not only for the devotee, but also for common persons who follow the devotee. Mahajana yena gata sabandha. Mahat kritena is what the great souls have done and what the great souls have recommended for all of us when they formed this institution. That if we do, then it is good for us. And the next shloka is very important for us. This Swayam Samuttirya Sudustaram Dhyuman. Bhavarnavam Bhima Madabra Sauruda Bhavat Padam Boru Nava Matrate Nidhaya Yata Sad Anugraha Bhavan. So Sad Anugraha Bhavan means Sat Sangha. So Sat means the devotees of the Lord. So Sad Anugraha Bhavan, in this prayer, the demigods are praying to Krishna. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desiratory, Vancha Kalpataru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nishayance, they leave behind on the earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. So, the rough concept in this shloka is, when the acharyas practice pure devotional service and they leave to the spiritual world, they leave behind a boat in which others can also cross over. And we'll read the translation and purport. Very beautiful. Purport. Prabhupada's words. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from 4 sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. Tattat karma pravartanat. But tattat karma pravartanat, we don't see these 4 principles. Prabhupada expanded tattat karma pravartanat. And to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible. One should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and a method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nisayance by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nisayance will surely be successful. And the most amazing thing is the purport of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this shloka. And I'm reading his words. Navam atrate nidhaya. These are the words in the shloka. Navam atrate nidhaya means leaving the boat on the bank means that the devotees establish bhakti movements and then cross the ocean of material existence. Roughly 400 years back, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, leaving behind a boat means the great acharyas leave behind bhakti movements. He's pointing to an institution. By this act, others are able to cross over the ocean of repeated birth and death. Though the material influence gets completely destroyed, the devotees remain here. This is only an expression of humility in the devotees. So I was really very struck that in this shloka, the boat that is mentioned by the demigods when praying to the Supreme Lord is actually the bhakti movement as per Vishwanath Chakravarti and the society of devotees as mentioned to us by Srila Prabhupada. So fortunate we are. On 11th of July 1966, Srila Prabhupada for the first time invited a lawyer called as Stephen Goldsmith. And Stephen Goldsmith, he came and sat for the class on that day. And Prabhupada saw Stephen Goldsmith and gave an analogy. Prabhupada had this habit of involving people. So he's saying, in India, many scholars have twisted the meaning of the books. Just like we have our lawyer Stephen Goldsmith sitting. And sometimes he knows how the laws can be twisted by the lawyers. And then Prabhupada said, in Calcutta one time the government passed a rent law. And one of the lawyers completely twisted the law and gave some another thing only. And he said, the government had to reenact another law and fully modify the existing law. The law was perfect, but the lawyer fully twisted it. Similarly, we need proper understanding of the scriptures, and that's why we want to establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he said, okay, you want to speak something, Mr. Goldsmith? Mr. Goldsmith got up and he had a bunch of papers and he said, Swamiji wants to establish this society and we have these names here and they are the trustees. And those devotees sitting there, they don't know they are trustees. So the first year trustees are Michael Grant, later became Mukunda Maharaj, his girlfriend Jan, later became Janki Mataji, and another person. His name was Green. What is his name? John Green. And then second year trustees, three people were there. And the third year trustees were already there. And the trustees, everyone is looking at each other. Abhi kya karna hai? The Stephen Goldsmith says, get up and you sign here. And Sasurup Maharaj mentions, none of them were actually ready to commit for that. Trustees. But they said, we love Swamiji. Swamiji wants this, so we'll do it for Swamiji. Swamiji se prema, Swamiji ke liye karenge. He says, none of them had any faith, any commitment. But they said, okay, let's sign. Swamiji is a good person, we will be benefited. And in this way, on the 11th of July 1966, the society was formed. And then under this society, we are here. So recently, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj left all of us, and I came across one of his lines. He mentioned, Lord Shri Krishna has expanded himself in the form of the holy name. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has expanded himself in the form of the Sankirtan movement. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada expanded himself in the form of the ISKCON movement. And that's why you see in the words of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, there's so much emphasis on serving within ISKCON, trying to do our best for propagating and helping the movement. So Prabhupada himself said, ISKCON is not different from my body. Just like in Varnashram, Lord Vishnu's body, the Virat Roop, the head gave birth to the Brahmanas. The arms gave birth to the Kshatriyas. 11th canto, 5th chapter, Chamasa Rishi mentions this. And the stomach gave rise to the Vaishyas. And the legs gave rise to the Shudras. So Prabhupada would usually use this example. In a society, these four Varnas have to cooperate. That's when society will also function properly. Now we have been trying to give this to the society. We may not be so much successful in giving to outside society. But what about the society for International Society for Krishna Consciousness? At least within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, there might be some people who are very intellectuals. Readers and speakers. So roughly comparing them. I'm not saying others are not. Some of us may be administrators. Comparison. Some of us may be those who are fundraisers. I'm comparing them to the Vaishyas. Is fund important? In the COVID period when all the temples have received less funds, have there been any policy changes? Of course. So many policy changes have happened because there's not enough money. So are fundraisers important? Yes. Are administrators important? Yes. Are the people who are deeply absorbed in books important? Of course, yes. And those people who are not fundraisers, who are not administrators, and who also are not absorbed in books, are they important? Of course, yes. So in the Vedic society, in Varnashram, Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishya and Shudras, is any one of them less important? No. So within International Society for Krishna Consciousness, are scholars not important? Of course not. Are managers not important? Of course not. Are fundraisers not important? Are aap kya din bhar mandir ke bahar rehte hain aur sirf paisa leke aate hain? Shastra to padhte hue kabhi dikhte nahi aap. Seva karte hue to kabhi dikhte nahi. If the funds don't come, there is no movement only. So in the Varnashram, if all the four Varnas are important, in the ISKCON society, how much important is the cooperation between different devotees of different natures? And that's why in the last few days of Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples sent a very emotional letter to Srila Prabhupada. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I pray to Lord Krishna, my health comes to you and you live longer. Let me suffer. Prabhupada's health was not good. And what is Prabhupada respond? Bhakti Charu Maharaj mentions. Said, to this highly emotional letter, my disciple wants to give me his health. Prabhupada wrote, all I want from you is your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. So this sounds like a very emotional thing. Meri tabiyat aapko, meri umar aapko lag jaye. But Prabhupada said, actually the regular fights and the regular discordance that happens, that reduces the life of the spiritual master. In one of the books I had read, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, such a fiery acharya, he could have lived much longer. Actually Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati left this world early. Why? Because he was tired of all the fights. And in that feeling, he left this world. But Prabhupada, when he left this world, he said, my spiritual master left this world in an unhappy state, seeing the fights amongst his followers. I am living happily. I can see that all of you are cooperating properly. So instead of wishing to the spiritual master, let my health go to you and my, you know, my life go to you. Spiritual master, what he wants is that how much we cooperate with each other. So within ISKCON society, today is the incorporation day of ISKCON. If we understand how the institution is very important for us, that's what we discussed in the initial part of the class, and how Prabhupada, right from his beginning days, even before he legally incorporated ISKCON, he was thinking and talking about this society. And then we discussed how all of us, whether we are fundraisers, whether we are people who are absorbed in the books, whether we are managers, whether we are none of these, we could be ordinary devotees taking care of some simple service, painters, cleaners, whatever we are. If we stay together, then we are serving Prabhupada's body. ISKCON is Prabhupada's body. So thank you so much on this auspicious day of the incorporation day of ISKCON. For my prayers to all of you, that let me always be an instrument of cooperation, let me always be an instrument of serving Srila Prabhupada and not be a cause of harm or difficulty to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Jai Nitai Varkayamanande Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, those devotees who missed it.